serving, helping in, with the rap. It was so good. I went through the line and you all was like, you need this in your life. You need this in your life. You need this in your life. And I had a big plate. It was fantastic. So thank you. Thank you to everybody who was serving this weekend and helping. And it was amazing to see that nobody, like everyone, sorry, I'm leaving Facebook in the, they have to read my lips. Okay. I'd like to leave it mute when we're talking just randomly, but then I forget to turn the sound on. So the chat, no sound. Well, it lets them ad-lib the message. They can make it up as I go. But no, everybody, the amount of time and energy put into the weekend, but everyone did it with so much joy that it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was relaxed. It's amazing that we can do so much, so many activities, so many words, so much like interaction in such little time, and not be stressed. Right? And still somehow we're relaxed about it. It's so good. So it was a great weekend. So thank you for everyone. The Mishlas, Ashley and Ali, and Pastor Donald and Rosie. I mean, they're still down there with the kids. I mean, they did Saturday night children's program, Sunday morning, and now they're back on Sunday night. Like, that's, wow. Wow. I hope they come back next week. No, I was so blessed by everybody pouring their hearts out, and it was great. The outreach yesterday was a lot of fun. I said that this morning, that we did outreach in the afternoon. We had 1,000 of the play flyers made up. And I think I have one left in my truck. I don't know where they are. Hopefully 800 of them aren't back in the car on the way down to Baltimore. But but we spent a couple hours out in Marlboro. And as Joyce said, as the afternoon went on, she just got more and more and more and more email alerts that people were registering for the cantata. So we reached people yesterday, and it was great. And I had a awesome time. We went downtown where they tore down that building and put up the black fence. You know what I'm talking about? Next to Welly's. They said, we're going to build this amazing condo, but instead they just tore everything down and put up a black fence for like 2 years. So we set up a little coffee table there on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. And we set up a little coffee table and just kind of flagged people down. Some people crossed the street when they saw us, right? And we said, come on over. And they said, no way. And they just kept going. But little did they know, there was like 40 people up the hill waiting for them, right? Like, no matter what direction you went for, people were coming by us with like 4 tracks in their hand. They'd be like, I can't take anymore. Yeah. We were just like compressing it all, the whole town. But we were there, and it was beautiful. I don't know, there's maybe 20 of us there in that area. And everybody who walked by got just an expression of the gospel. And I'll tell you, there was a few families that had just come from Brazil. One family walked by and he had a New York Islanders hat on, and Pete Scott had his Bruins jersey on, right? And he goes, not the Islanders, the Bruins. And the guy's like, and he's trying to tell us in Portuguese, I just got it from Savers. Like, I was freezing. He just got here 5 days ago from Brazil. And they have no phone, like they don't know, and they're just getting set up. And there's Marcos and Junior, right? And Junior were there praying with these people and talking to them. And I saw compassion in Junior. That's the amazing thing. I saw compassion. No, I saw Junior. He was like amazing. Like, he's giving out his phone number, and he's saying, I can help with your kids need to find school. My wife works in the school. She can help you guys get set up. Here's my number, whatever we can do. And it was beautiful to see. And then another couple, they've been here for 20 days. And Junior gave him his phone number, but the guy didn't have a phone yet. Like, they did nothing. So, yeah, it was beautiful to see. And then another family just been here 20 days. They're just starting to meet people. So we were there. There's Marcos and Junior. and with just pouring out and loving these guys up. It was beautiful to see it. And then Estuardo was there, and he led a young man to Christ in Spanish, right? Somebody stopped this kid, and they were talking. They're trying to do like a interpretive dance of the gospel, right? It wasn't going across. So Estuardo came and translated, and the young guy prayed right there on the corner and got saved. So it was a great time. And then even we're just heading back to the truck, and we're just handing out tracts and meeting people. So that's I just saw that one little section, and I know there were people over. Pastor Donald had a group up here on Broad Street, and there were people on the other side of Main Street in the neighborhoods there. So great time, great fellowship, great practically, like, we did it. We went out on a mission, and it was so much fun. So thank you to everybody. But what I wanted to say is that it wasn't a stress, and if it was, you guys hit it well. No, Ashley did an amazing job. I thought she said everyone who goes to Chick-fil-A gets a free 8-count nugget.
What?
Yeah, that's what I heard. So I said free 8-count, but they were giving out Apex cards. So I set up a little bit of a situation at Chick-fil-A where everyone was saying, "We're here from the church, we want our free nuggets." And the guy was like,
yeah.
And I was not one of them. So no one could say, our pastor said. But the Chick-fil-A actually like reserved space for us and gave the kids cards for the Apex Center. So they all went over there and played. And it was cool. It was a community day. We were connecting to Marlboro, which was great. And Apex and 8-count. I guess apparently come across, and you all know, huh? You hear, hey, yeah, I was gonna say, and you all know if there's an option, I'm gonna hear food. What? Yes, that's it. Do you see 8-count or Apex? 8-count. Okay, so open with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Victoria is here, and Alyssa. You guys are stayed behind. Stayed behind. Yeah, nice. Thank you. Romans chapter 4, if we were speaking about our faith, James, and his epistle talks about a faith that doesn't have any works connected to it, right? Faith without works is what?
Dead.
Right? Faith without works is dead. And what does that mean? Does it mean that if I'm not doing anything, then my Christianity is void? No, that's not what that means. But it means that a genuine faith will do something in my heart, and it will move me to some kind of difference. Some kind of fruit will come out of my life. If I'm truly putting my faith in Christ and I'm trusting Him, then something will come out of it. And we could think about what are those works. Well, we just mentioned a few things. The Sanchez family serving in Morrison Hall. We think of the O'Brien family bringing most of the kids of Stowe to the junior followers and youth group. We could think of Ashley and Ali and bringing the coffee table downtown. We could think of the work. Like, are those the works? Well, those are some, yes. And those are some things that these people have a gift to do. But I don't want to look at my faith and then compare it to somebody else's life and say, well, I don't have the works that they have, therefore I don't know if I have faith. But actually, our faith works, and our faith will produce a work in us, and the evidence of it will be there. And we're very tough on ourselves, or at least I am very tough on myself, critical, right, of my decisions and my words and all that kind of stuff, right? Anybody else with me on that? Yeah, okay, Dexter's. Yeah, we're critical of ourselves, and we don't see Maybe we are so critical on ourselves, we don't see what God is doing in our life, right? Because we're comparing it to someone else, or we're comparing it to somebody, something else. But other people look at us and they say, oh my gosh, their faith is incredible. I lost the last thought. But yeah, so our faith works. It does. Our faith works. And it produces in us a true change. That's what it was. So what you know about yourself and how critical you are of yourself, no one else knows. Or no one else is thinking that way. We think about what we don't do. Like, I could preach a message and I could say, man, I didn't say this. I could have said that. There would have been a better illustration other than another food illustration. Like, come on, be creative, right? Like, I could have. But it's not, is that healthy for me? And what am I doing? I'm doubting what God has done in the group. Because you know what? Nobody else knows what I didn't say. Or you, nobody knows what you didn't do, but people see what you do, and that is what builds them up. So when you come in by faith and you have joy, then that's an amazing work of God in your life, and that's an evidence of your faith. We have struggles. The message from Saturday night was very good, Romans chapter 7, right? The struggle between good and bad, and the discouraged, I can be so disappointed in myself when I'm not good. But don't be there. Don't live there. How do we not live there? By faith. By faith. I say, no, that is, my sin is not who I am. My sin is not what I am. But I am in Christ. So here we have in Romans chapter 4 the story of Abraham. When we read Abraham's story, Genesis chapter 12, through to his, whenever he fades out of stage right. But there are two times where he fails miserably, right? Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 20, where out of insecurity and out of worry for his own life, he comes up with a lie for his wife, right? He says, tell Sarah, listen, you're beautiful. And she says, oh, thanks, honey. Now tell him you're my sister. She's like, what? Like, those two compliment, like, I don't, the connection's tough there, right? You're beautiful, you're my sister. I'm not getting it. He says that. Why? Because he is worried that another king would take his life, kill him, and take his wife, right? So that happens in Genesis chapter 12, after he had already received the promise that a nation would come out of him. Right? So he has this promise from God that a nation would come out of him, and that through him the entire world would be blessed. But then when he's confronted with this natural situation, what does he do? He tries to preserve his own life because he thinks someone will take it from him. It's like, but if you have a promise in Genesis chapter 12 that something great will come out of you spiritually and naturally, then when it is challenged, how come you crumbled so easily, Abraham? And when I read that, I say, thank God. Abraham was just like me. Because I doubt also, and I say, Lord, I know you've given me a promise, but I don't know. And I'm insecure, and I would like to hedge my bets a little bit, and I have some ideas that I could preserve my life through this thing. So he does that, and it all comes out, and the guy says, listen, why did you tell me that? I could have gotten in some serious trouble, right, the king. And then he eventually blesses Abraham, gives him things, and then he leaves. Comes up again in Genesis chapter 20. Abraham looks at Sarah, says, Sarah, you know what, you're beautiful. And she says, no, not again. Not again. This didn't go well last time. Don't do it again. Just tell him you're my sister. And it happens again. But then when you come to Genesis chapter 4, or Romans chapter 4, it's a whole different picture. Like, Abraham had that difficulty. Abraham had that doubt. Abraham had these times when he stumbled. But when you come to the New Testament description of Abraham, it doesn't seem that way. let me just find it. Yeah, here we go. Okay. verse, we can start in verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. If it's of works, it's not of grace. Because works cancels the ability of grace. Because then if I'm being paid for something. Right? The definition of grace is that there is, it's not a reward. It's not compensation. It's not even a tip. Right? Like, has anybody ever worked for tips? Golf course or a restaurant or whatever. Yeah, we work for tips, and what do you mean? You got to pour it on. I worked at a country club through high school, right? And we learned the guys for 4 years. I worked there and knew the guys who tipped well, and we took care of them. Right? The guy who gave $2, like, we'll help you, but this guy's here. We're gonna take care of him. Right? Drive you to your car, make sure you have a fresh towel in there. Come out after 9 holes, we'll give you a new towel. And, you know, we'll take care of you. And we'd schmooze up to him so that we would get a tip, right? Are we that way with God? Right? God, look, God. And then there's somebody who's like less than us, and we're like, hey, we don't have time for you. God, we have to, hey, God, have you recognized me? No, it's grace. If it is of works, then what happens? If it's of works, I could be proud of it. If it's of works, I have something to boast in. If it's of works, there's going to be a trail of bodies behind me because people don't matter. But because it's by grace, I am free. Where I don't have any action in it, I don't have any effort in it besides receiving grace and recognizing grace. And along the way, I recognize people are not a stepping stone, or people are not a useful thing, but people are my brothers and sisters, right? And it brings in the body of Christ. So Abraham, all right, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Right? Okay, so the promise might be sure. How sure was the promise to Abraham? It was sure. Because God made it based on what? Based on himself. God's promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 was not a performance review. Abraham, I've been observing all of the polytheistic people in this pagan world, and I've determined that you are the best of them, and now I'm going to call you and I'm going to give you a promise. No, it was by grace. It just says God called Abraham. And there is no backstory, there is no performance, there is no evaluation. It's just that God called Abraham by grace. And he comes, the promise is sure. Why is it sure? Because it's founded in God, not in Abraham's ability, right? So, and now it's sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, that's the Jewish nation, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So there is the seed according to the law, which is the nation of Israel, and then the seed according to faith, according to promise, which is us. We live by promise, not law. And he is the father of us all, meaning he is the father of the Jewish nation, the sand and the seashore. He is the father of the spiritual Jews, in a sense, the stars in the sky. Right? So he is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Okay. So Abraham was contrary to hope. What did he do? Contrary to hope, he believed in hope. Contrary to hope. How contrary was this? Abraham, you're gonna have a child by Sarah. No, she's barren, Lord. No, she can't. That's a dead end. It's not gonna happen. No, there's hope. And in this it says that contrary to hope, he believed in hope. And it says now in verse 19, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Right? Not being weak in faith. But we look at Genesis 12 and Genesis 20, and we say, well, I see weakness in Abraham's faith. And then we see him with Hagar, and we say, well, there's weakness in his faith. And then we see him when he says, can't you just take Ishmael? There's weakness in his faith. And then another point, can't you just take my servant that was born in my household? Can't he be acceptable to you? There's weakness in faith in our eyes. Right? But in the New Testament, in the context of Christ's work, there, that weakness of faith is not there. But instead, we see that he did it. And he is our Father. That it happened. Okay, so we have a weakness of faith. I do. Have you ever woken up in the morning and say, I don't know if I'm going to make it? Right? Woo, woo. Right? But then you just say, no, I'm gonna make it. Right? I'm going to. We get up and we go. Or in your marriage, have you ever said, I don't know how we're going to make it back from this one? Right? I shouldn't have said that. Right? I don't know. But then by faith, okay, so there is a weakness in my faith where I don't know. Or have you ever heard a message and you said, hey, I don't like that. That hit a nerve, Pastor. I'm offended. I don't like it. No. How dare you talk to me like that? So there is a weakness in faith, but then you go home and you have your Bible open or your notes open and you pray, you say, Lord, I was offended by that message. And he says, yeah, good. I'm glad you were. Can you take it? If it's a word from God, if it's a word of God, a Bible verse or a context of Scripture, can you take it? So my weakness of faith, I bring my weakness of faith before the Lord and I say, God, I don't like this. And then he says, okay, but it's from me. And we can say, okay, then if it's from you, Lord, I can take it from you. And then we find a strength. And that weakness in faith ends up becoming like a powerful mix to my faith. It helps me. It becomes a building block maybe for my faith. Where I say, I had this conflict with God. Like Abraham had. Where he said, can't you just take Ishmael? And God said, no. Stop bringing me Ishmael. It's not about Ishmael. It's about Sarah, the fruit from Sarah. The seed will come from Sarah. And we say, yep, like Lord, I mean, I'm dead, basically. I'm 90 years old. 99 years old. What do you want from me? She's 90 years old, Lord. No. No, instead, it says that he staggered not being weak in faith. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. So the words there, right? Not weak in faith. Okay, contrary to hope, believed in hope. Not weak in faith. Not wavering at the promise. And then finally, fully convinced. Those are some powerful words, aren't they? They're very clear. We have a faith that works in us. And it works in us when we are relating to God. Where is the answer to all of these weaknesses or where these conflicts that Abraham has? They are met by God. All right, Genesis chapter 12, Abraham fails. Genesis chapter 15, God shows up and makes a covenant and reconfirms it to him. And he makes a covenant. Abraham goes to sleep and God passes through the covenant by himself. And he makes a covenant with himself. So the confirmation is there. Genesis chapter 20, Abraham is weak in faith. Genesis chapter 22, Isaac is on the altar and God provides. Like the relationship is there. Genesis chapter 18, Abraham is weak in faith. Sarah laughs. But what happens? God is there at the outside of the tent. If you think of God, God Almighty, and then you think of Abraham, like, that's an important connection. Why is that such an important connection? Because God decided it was. And what would cause God to go down to a nomad's tent in the middle of nowhere and say, you are my friend, Abraham. Do you understand that I am with you and that I have made this promise? And I don't care about your laughing at it. But I am here to confirm to you, and I am here to stand before you and say, I am with you in this promise. So we are that way. That God has made promises to us biblically, but also he has always shown up in our life. Christ incarnate, Christ has been present in our life. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? John 1:14. Christ came down here in a very humble way, much like he came to Abraham. Christ with Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. Imagine that. Like walking away to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he goes, man, I got to tell Abraham. You're the God of the universe. You don't have to tell Abraham anything. But God has chosen to tell Abraham. And he has given Abraham a promise. And he is the one who gives Abraham the confidence of it. Because in Abraham, what does Abraham find in himself? Weakness, doubt, fear, insecurity. So that's why God shows up throughout the story. And if you, the story of the nation of Israel is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right? And everybody receives the covenant. Everybody receives a confirmation and it grows every single time. God is concerned with it. God is involved in it. And my faith is in God. If my faith is in my own ability to do these things or to accomplish it, I'm going to be, you know, whatever, mixing with whatever. I'm going to be like Lot. Right? Just give me the good looking stuff. I'll take it. But instead, God shows up and Abraham finds a whole nother value. In Genesis chapter 14, Lot is taken away in this army or in this war, right? These kings come and they battle. And all the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah are taken away. And Lot's family is taken away with them. What does Abraham do? Abraham says, guys, it's time to go. And they all the 300 guys in his family or his tribe or whatever, they all get geared up and they go and they fight. And they get Lot back. The king of Sodom comes to Abraham and says, give me the people. You take the gold, I'll take the people. But Abraham says this, I have lifted my hand to the Most High God, the creator of heaven and earth. I'm not even going to take a shoelace from you. Right? Where does that come from? Where does that confidence come from? Well, right before the king of Sodom comes to Abraham, who else does? Melchizedek shows up. And there's communion there. There's communion there. There's like God comes into the picture and gives Abraham a different understanding of what life is all about. So there's fellowship there with Melchizedek. Abraham gives a tithe to Melchizedek, and there is a communion there. So then when Abraham faces the king of Sodom, he has confidence in God. Whatever is coming down the road, God is meeting me in it. And my weakness of faith is overcome by my relationship with Christ. And because of my relationship with Christ, I see it in a different way, right? Like, yes, there's weakness in me, but there's only strength in God. So when now we read the story of Abraham in the New Testament, he's staggering not, he's wavering not, there's no doubt, and he's like this warrior of the faith. Even Sarah, right? It says that she didn't consider her own womb to be done, right? But instead, she believed. What is the truth in Genesis 18? She's laughing. She's laughing at the promise that she's going to have a child. But in Romans chapter 4, she is strong in faith, giving glory to God. So our faith works, and it works because God is in our life. We're not in an arena where he is watching our performance. But more so, we are coming behind him in his victory. And that's the story of the nation of Israel, and that's the story of our faith. That whenever there is victory, it's because God is ahead of it. So what do we need in our life? We all need different things, don't we? We all need different things. We're all praying for different things. Is God there? Is God here with us now? Yeah, he is. And then he'll be there with us, and then he'll be meeting us in between too. And that's why our faith works. So then what is the fruit? So like we look at Abraham, we say, the guy's a wreck. You read the story in Genesis, you're like, man, this guy's a wreck. But then you read a story in Genesis 14, or Romans 4, where are we? Romans 4 and Hebrews 11, and you say, my gosh, this guy is like a hero. He's a hero. That's the way we see each other also. We see our own lives, and we say, I'm like Old Testament Abraham. Right? I'm full of doubt. I'm full of fear. I'm like, you know, thinking, how can I preserve myself? But then the long story is that there is faith in God. And by faith in God, all of my inadequacies and all of my fears, all of my insecurities are overcome by His security and His confidence. So I love that in Romans chapter 4. And we're that way, right? So here we go, verse 23. Now it was not written for His sake alone, but it was imputed to Him, but also for us. It should be imputed to us who believe in Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. So Christ was delivered up for our offenses, meaning Christ was delivered up for our doubt, Christ was delivered up for our fear, and the things that the actions that came out of fear and insecurity. Right? The sin is a byproduct of the nature, right? And the nature, the old nature, old sin nature is insecure. And out of that comes these sins. So He was delivered up for those offenses, but then He was raised for our justification. So there is a weakness in us, but then there is a strength in Christ, and He is raised up, and we are justified. So like it says in verse 22, it was accounted unto Him for righteousness because He believed. Likewise for us, we are accounted righteous because of our faith. Not because of our performance, not because of our faith in ourselves, but because of our faith in God who overcomes all things. And now we look at each other in the room and we say, man, there's heroes of the faith in the room. There are heroes in the room. Why? Because of what we have overcome by faith. Because our faith works. And we put our faith in Christ and He comes into our life and He changes us. And now we are not walking in the offense, but we are walking in resurrection life as justified, sanctified people, just like Abraham. So if you ever are discouraged and you're ever thinking, my faith has no works, think about the joy that God has given, right? What are the works? We think of missionaries, we think of pastors, we think of worship leaders, right? Like up in the front, the sound booth, the guys, and those are works right there, my gosh, with the lights and the words, oh, and the live stream, thank you, oh my gosh, those guys are working so much. But how about devotion? What is that devotion? That my life is devoted to God. Meaning I get up, nobody sees it. Nobody sees it, right? But there is a work of faith happening in my life, and I am devoting my life to Him. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Would you have done that 2 years ago? Would you have done that 10 years ago? That is a change. That is faith. Faith is working in your life, and it is changing you. Right? Like Pastor Schaller said it this morning, he got up and he said, all right, check your attitude. Right? Isn't that good? Check your attitude. Have you noticed your attitude could change? Based on where your faith is. It does, doesn't it? That is the work of God in your life. Don't underestimate it. Don't discount it. But recognize it and allow it to continue. Care for people. Right? We had it at the wrap today. Do you love people? That was the question. Do you like people? Right? Some people are like, well, can we define like? Like, what does it mean to like people? What does it mean to love people? My love for people in the body of Christ comes from understanding what the body of Christ is, right? Like I could come into the body of Christ and immediately I'm weak in faith and I'm not loving it. But then when I understand what we are and who we are and what the church is, then I have a love for the body of Christ. And like he said this morning, how could it be that I could go up to someone I don't know and say, I love you? How could that be? Pastor Belli tells a story of the first time he went to Springfield Church, and Pastor Mike Williams was there welcoming in. He said, hey, I love you. And he said, what the heck is going on here? Right? I got a grown man telling another grown man he loves him at the door. Right? Like, what are we doing? Like this morning, Pastor Shai said, give one another a holy kiss or to your neighbor. And I turned around, it was Pastor Doug, and he just looked at me. I said, hey, I'm not. And he said, how about a fist bump? And I said, well, that's good. Right? Remember that one service? It was like Pastor Appreciation Week or something like that. It was appreciation days. Every day is appreciating something, puppies or flowers or clouds. Every day is something. But it was Pastor Appreciation Week, so I said, I want every guy to show your appreciation for Pastor Doug and give him like at least a 3-second minimum hug, right? After church, I want every guy in the church to give Pastor Doug a big hug, right? One person was bold enough to do it, and they did it. Pastor Doug is there. But the love that we have in the body of Christ, the love we have in the body, it comes from some. We have new people come to church, and we feel like we are a family. Right? And that we have unity, and we have something, because we believe this, that God is the one who has overcome all of our things, and we are all in the same place, putting our faith in Christ. And yes, we have weakness, but my gosh, we have strength in God. And we can love each other and appreciate each other. And what happens then is that we're a light to the world. So we could go back, all the way back to the beginning, and say, there's no way I could be a light to the world because of what I know about myself, because of what I know that I don't do, because of what I know that I do, like all of this kind of stuff. Or I could say, we are a light to the world because of what Christ has done in our life. And all of the other stuff is overcome. And now we have freedom, and we have a witness, and our faith is like Abraham, where the story might have been a bumpy road, right? But now it is glorifying God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for giving us this amazing life. Thank you for putting joy in our heart. Thank you for producing something in our life, Lord. The fruit of the Spirit, evidence of our faith. Help us to grow, Lord. We all want to grow in our faith. Give us boldness in faith. We want to make big steps by faith. Help us to make our decisions by faith in you, and that your faith, our faith, our faith in you would work in our life, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.